The simple act of saying thank you can be such a powerful thing. And I commend you for setting aside a special Sunday to thank those who have given so much over the years. And I thank you for inviting me to be a part of it. As I come here, I'm part of the family of congregations across Alberta that make up Mennonite Church Alberta together with you. And when I'm here, it's all of us coming together. So I appreciate the chance that you've given for to draw all these other congregations into this service. As a Mennonite church, we emphasize the importance of everyone's role in being the church together. Our Confession of Faith states that we believe that ministry continues the work of Christ, who gives gifts through the Holy Spirit to all believers and empowers them for service in the church and in the world. Christ invites all Christians to minister to each other in the church and on behalf of the church beyond its boundaries. The role he plays is the same for everyone. We do have different gifts and are called at different times to use them in different ways. But we are all called to shape the church and to discern how we may live in faithful discipleship. As the Bible says, we are one body with many members, with Jesus Christ as its head. Each part of the body has a different role to play and is honored in different ways. But when one part is honored, all rejoice together with it. Right before my message, Thomas read two scriptures. These passages give us two contrasting images, and both of them offer an important perspective for our service here today. Psalm 92 gives thanks for the faithful and righteous, and for the blessing God brings from their lives. Now, the Psalms are songs that would have been sung during worship services. Now, if we take a closer look at our psalm, we can see that it has these couplets that kind of go together. You can see them in this little section here. And when I think about the original Hebrew, these probably would have been more poetic sounding than they are in English, and they may even have rhymed with each other. But we can see that they are paired with the one, they're paired together with the one below them. So starting in verse 12, these couplets list seven positive qualities of the righteous. Now the Bible, seven is a highly symbolic number, and it represents completeness and blessing. So let's go through them. The righteous flourish like the palm tree. They grow like a cedar. They are planted in the house of the Lord and flourish in the courts of our God. They produce fruit. Then this next line kind of has two pieces to make up the number of seven. They're always green and full of sap. That's sort of an image of vibrancy and vigor, showing that the life is evident in them. Those who follow God exude this in the community. The images of trees that are used in this psalm are powerful. So we move on to the next picture. I've got a picture of some palm trees here. They would have symbolized grace and uprightness. Their tall, slender trunk would represent upright integrity. And palm trees were also a blessing to the community. They provided palm oil for a variety of uses. They would provide fruit in many cases. They could be used to build things, both from their wood and from their fronds. I have a picture of a frond up here as the next one. Well, I have a memory of being in Honduras. I was there with Christian Peacemakers International, and they had been working on some housing projects. And I was there to help dedicate the housing village, basically. They were preparing for a special worship service. And so they had all these chairs in this open space, and then they built this wooden structure around it with a framework, and they covered that upper frame with palm branches. And that way, when we were having our worship time and dedication in the afternoon, and the sun was beating down, we were in shade. I was amazed at how much shade how much coolness came just from that shade of those palm branches thrown over top, and how quickly they could put that all together. The second tree, I've got a picture of that next. It's talked about in our passage of the Cedars of Lebanon. This is the same picture that was actually on the front of our bulletins today. Now, these trees would have represented strength and majesty, and they really are quite grand when you look at them. They've got these long, long reaching branches and huge trunks. Really are quite impressive. And the width of these trees would have been strong, resistant to rot and to bugs. They represent stability and long life. They may grow slowly, but some of these trees can grow to be over 600 years old. For the next picture, when we look at the ecological significance of trees like these, we can see that they're centers of life and abundance in the forest. They provide shelter for animals and birds, and shade that ultimately helps other cedar trees and other plants to grow. And you can see that in this picture here. If you look underneath the tree, that's where it's sort of the greenest. There's more green grass there, there's more smaller trees and bushes that manage to live in that shade. These cedar trees of Lebanon thrive along rocky hillsides, and there are often large swings in temperature. The shade of these trees help regulate that temperature. They keep the sun from baking the young saplings and drying out the small bits of ground. And they also provide some shelter from the wind and storms of winter. So the next picture. In our psalm, the success of these trees comes from being planted in the house of the Lord. These are images of rootedness and deep connection. And I admit that the root systems of a tree are always a bit of a mystery to me. It's part of the tree we don't see very often. We look at the trunk and its branches and still don't think about all that's going on underground. We don't think about the intricate systems of roots and the fine root hairs that interact with the soil, absorbing moisture and nutrients to help the plant grow. The tree just seems to magically emerge from the earth. But the health of the tree arises from its many roots that tie deeply to what it needs to thrive. The psalm contrasts these three images of the righteous with images of those without such strong, deep spiritual roots. We didn't read the middle section of this psalm, but in verse 7, it talks about the wicked being like grass, kind of quite a contrast to a large tree. The grass sprouts quickly and seems to flourish for a time, but it does not endure. It does not last. When the drought comes, it dries up. The grass can't provide much of a place of nurture and shelter, and it can never produce the fruit that comes from a large established tree. The next picture. Now we can see why our psalm uses grand images of trees for describing the righteous. This is also a powerful image of the many volunteers that we are honoring today and the way that they have contributed to the life of the Holyrood Church here. You who volunteered your time have been like trees, standing tall, providing so much for the community. You have helped shape it, provided blessing, and produce fruit. You have created a setting where people from a variety of cultures have felt welcome. You have come together and have strived together to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. You have shared your gifts to teach, encourage, and witness to your faith. You have also provided a setting in which others can grow as part of the community, providing the conditions that helps others find belonging and gives them a place to thrive. As together you as Holyrood Church celebrate those who have given so much to your community, you as a community are also acknowledging a time of transition for many of these volunteers. Many have come to a time where they're ready to hand off responsibility to others. It is part of the cycle in the forest and in the church, where roles change, a new life emerges to give new shape to the whole. Some of you need to let go of some of the more formal responsibilities. Some of you are being freed for new roles to place and places to use your gifts. Some are creating space for others to use their gifts. Yet all are still a part of shaping the faith community, whether they're doing so here or connecting to another place to do so. Everywhere we serve God, we're shaping that community of faith. The transition times can be difficult, whether we're thinking about a forest or thinking about the church. As a congregation, when a time of transition comes, we may find ourselves wondering about the future. In fact, we may worry about signs that the flourishing that's being promised in the psalm doesn't seem to be present. We may wonder where God is in all of this. Now I'll just move on the slide to the next scripture, which is the second one that was read for us this morning. It's from Isaiah 43. Now, I just want to highlight these two verses. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wilderness and the desert, these are discouraging images. They may describe how we may feel during times of transition like these. We may remember times of blessing and flourishing and wonder what happened to that vibrant era in our life or in the life of our church. We may feel less like we're in God's promised land and more like we found ourselves back in the wilderness, wondering where God will lead. Yet God speaks into this time of uncertainty. God assures us of God's presence there with us. Somehow God makes a way. Somehow God guides God's church through the cycle of transition, perhaps forming something completely new, and possibly as spectacular and life-giving as a river in the desert. This same cycle happens over and over in the stories of Scripture. A few years ago, Betty Priest met with us as Vanity Church Alberta and talked about what she called the grand narrative spiral of Scripture. I'll move on to this next slide. This is an image that she showed. Throughout the Bible, we see this happen again and again. People experience God in a place of awe and wonder. So kind of look at where the awe and wonder piece is there. God feels so real and alive. As life realities and challenges emerge, or as we find ourselves suffering the brokenness of this world, God's blessing may seem to move further away from us. We may find ourselves discouraged and despair, as the promise of God's presence is obscured. So that's where it moves over to that place of suffering. We may not discover what that next promise might be and how it might emerge until we surrender and trust to God. It's a way of moving from trusting in ourselves to trusting in God's power to see us through. And this surrender is what opens us up to transformation in God's power. By yielding to God's leading, by letting go of our need to control and our own ideas of what God should be doing, we allow ourselves to be made new as God's people transformed in our world. So that moves back to that place of awe and wonder again, where you once again experience that. And the Bible has many stories that move along this path. We think about the Israelites who were suffering in Egypt. They were slaves. They were oppressed. They called out to God. They were saying, God, free us. We trust you. We long for you to do something new. And God frees them. As that experience of awe and wonder, in a miraculous way, God leads them out. And as we know from the Bible stories, it didn't take long before they forgot to trust God. And that's where the ark starts to turn downward. They start to find themselves wandering in the desert. And there's 40 years in the wilderness that takes place. Another time of suffering, of longing, where's God in this? But also a move to trust, a move to surrender. Returning to God and openness to where God may be. And this yieldedness to God is what once again opens them to be transformed into the people that God is calling them to be. Once they reach that point of trust, God brings them into that promised land, enters it into that next stage where they can experience God's blessing. Because of course we know that wasn't the end of the story either. The cycle continues. If you look at Scripture, this continues again and again. The need for turning to God in trust, to be renewed, and to experience that awe and wonder of God once again. Now this next slide shows a cycle when it's thought about it in the life of a church. We can experience that same kind of transformation, that movement from awe and wonder to suffering and surrender and to transformation. And if we look at this, this kind of cycle here, we can see where that awe and wonder is in that conception and birth cycle. So the beginnings, new beginnings are always exciting. There's that place of creative formation where we understand who we are and then a space of thriving. Many churches experience this in those initial parts of who they are. At some point, there can be a shift, a change that could be, as I said before, the realities of life set in. We may find that that promise seems to be a little bit waning for us somehow. There may be a sense that God's promise isn't really there, or that maybe we find ourselves neglecting the things that connect us to God and to each other. We find ourselves needing to rediscover Christ over and over again. And so then we may move to that next stage where we try and protect and maintain who we've been. We may find that that doesn't quite work out too. That place of suffering and surrender needs to take place. That surrender to God to say, this is where I'm meeting you. Something new. Something new is emerging. So at some point we may move past that crisis and confusion point. We might try all kinds of things and attempt to recapture what worked in the past. But nothing really transformative is possible without that act of surrender to God and to God's leading. Rather than cling to our own understandings or old ways of doing things, it's about relinquishing control. It's about placing our trust in God fully and allowing God to work in our lives. It's embracing the opportunity to rediscover all over again who we are meant to be as God's beloved children. Now, there's no certainty of how long a process like this will take. There's also no certainty of what will eventually emerge. There's a reason why this cycle is a little question mark there. What is transformation going to look like? Is it going to be reinvigorating and see it like a certain shape of what the church was? Or is it going to be something new and surprising and ultimately a blessing? The key in this moment is that openness, the leading of God's Spirit, and yielding to the call of God wherever it may lead. In the midst of all this uncertainty, we are called to live faithfully, continue to shape our community, planting ourselves deep in God's care so that we may flourish and bear fruit. And as the broad Armenic Church Alberta community, we walk with you as Hollybird as you see what God is doing in your community and see where God may be. Let's move on to the next picture. It may take a long time before the full impact of our actions are known, before we see the results of our faithful service to God. This is true for any of us, whether we're thinking about our interactions within the church or those without it. But I'd share a story of transformation. Many of you know my parents, Hugo and Doreen Neufeld, and they did some interim work as pastors here a number of years ago. When I was a kid, my parents worked at a community center called the Welcome Inn. The Mennonite Church has started this program as a way to be a positive presence in a low-income area of Hamilton. When I was around 8 years old, our family became involved with a single mom with three children, the oldest of which was a three-year-old girl. When I saw those kids living in a dilapidated home with a mother who needed substantial support of all kinds, you had to wonder about their chances. This year, my parents sent a Christmas kind of wishes over email to that little girl. They've kept in touch, even though this girl's now in her 40s, probably late 40s by now. She responded by sharing memories of Welcome Inn and visits to our family home. We had a cherry tree in our backyard, and she described eating cherries while climbing high up in the tree, and she compared it to being a piece of heaven. Then she went on to write, "I truly owe the person I've become and the things I've overcome to both of you and everyone at Welcome Inn. I learned how to be kind, forgiving, caring, giving, compassionate, empathetic, and many, many other things. By having things not only taught to me, but bestowed upon me. I try my best to pay it forward on a daily basis. I want to thank you both for all you have given and continue to give. I know you have made a difference and touched many lives, as you did mine when I was just an unkept and unruly little girl." It's really a remarkable witness to the impact and kind of impact that we as a family probably wouldn't have ever really thought of if it hadn't been shared to us. The long-term outcomes like these are part of an overarching vision of what could be, of the fruit that may come from our response to God's call to each of us to be deeply planted and rooted in Christ. We may never know the impact we may have on others, or it may be made known to us in surprising and unexpected ways. with a focus on God's guidance and a vision of restoration, we are called to a place with meaning, purpose, and belonging. We are also promised the abundant life made possible through the light of Christ's presence in our world. In an online reflection piece, Scott Schaeff acknowledges that the flourishing described in Psalm 92 may not always seem real in life, but he points out that our future is assured in Jesus Christ. It is a future that God has promised for all the world. Scott writes, the depiction of the flourishing of the righteous in the psalm is something we look forward to and for which we praise God in moments when we do experience it in this life. Today we recognize and thank those who have helped us experience moments of flourishing through their service here at Hollywood Church. In our recognition, may we thank God for the blessing that they have been to us and to the world. May we rejoice in the way they have shaped the life of Hollywood and shaped all those who have been touched in some way by this faith community. In this time of transition, when some are stepping back from roles they've been doing for a long time, and where we may wonder about where the future may lead, may we be encouraged that those, may we encourage those who are stepping forward to offer their gifts, and may we go forward in trust of God's ongoing blessing in our lives and the life of our church. Amen. Mm-hmm.